Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We continue in Nehemiah chapter 3. Have your Bible ready if you can. We've seen in previous broadcasts that in Nehemiah chapter 8, there's a tremendous revival underway, but we're looking at the chapters between that, verses chapters 1 through chapter 7, at what we're calling the prelude to revival. In chapter 1, we see a man, his name is Nehemiah. He is concerned. He is convicted of his own sin. The Bible says in chapter 1 that he sat down, he wept, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. Now, why would we do any of those things? Because he was concerned. More concerned than anything to him was the condition of God's people back at Jerusalem. And so we read in chapter 2 and verse number 11, "So I came to Jerusalem." Now, he went there for several things he had to do. He had to face the facts. And he had to face the future. I think we don't want to do that today. We need to face the facts. If we do not have a Bible revival, if we do not have a genuine revival that is sent by God, then we're in serious trouble with our future as Christians today. We need to face the facts, and we need to face the future. Well, we get to chapter 3, and the first thing we find out is that they are building the wall. You have to have the wall. There's a lot of talk today about building bridges. Yeah, we all got to get together. Well, the Bible says that'll happen. It's going to be a one-world church. It's going to be a one-world government at the end of the age. They're building bridges. Well, if you want to see God's blessing on your life, you don't need to be building bridges to the dump. You need to be building walls to keep out that which you don't want in your home and in our churches today. Also, we see in chapter 3 that they're building gates. Now, these gates, it talks about them having doors, having locks, and having bars. In Nehemiah, you'll find the word doors 10 times. You'll find the word locks 5 times. And we find the word bars 5 times. Now, the sheep gate, there it says they set up the doors, but there's no locks and there's no bars. And we see in verse number 1 the word sanctified. That means it is set apart. In other words, this gate is different than all the other gates. This gate has no locks, it has no bars, because whosoever will may come. It represents our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship is open to whosoever will may come. Now I'm reading chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mea." They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. Now, notice it makes reference twice here to a tower. What is a tower? Well, that is something where someone is going to stand guard. And if there's anything we need to stand guard on today, it's the plan of salvation. Again, the sheep gate represents our relationship with Jesus Christ. And how are you going to have that relationship? Well, Jesus said, "I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Now, I want to go to the little book of Jude here for a minute. Verse number 3, Jude said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, I doubt if there's a verse in the entire Bible that's more misrepresented than this verse is here. He did not change his mind. That is just ridiculous. He said, "Beloved, When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There is no but in here. He didn't say, I wanted to write to you about the common salvation, but it was needful for me to write unto you about earnestly contending for the faith. What he is talking about here is earnestly contending for the doctrine of salvation. Now, the word common is in the scriptures 21 times. And the way to study the Bible, as we've said many times, is to compare scripture with scripture. And if you would compare scripture with scripture before you compare scripture with commentaries, you won't be led astray, like you will be led astray with almost every commentary that is written on this verse here. The word common is in the Bible 21 times. It talks about common people, common death, common bread, common manner, common things, common hall, common people, common prison, and it talks about a common faith, and it talks about a common salvation. In Jude verse number 3, the word for common is koinos, K-O-I-N-O-S. It is used by the Jews concerning something that is unhallowed, something that is profane, and something that is unclean. In Mark chapter 7 and verse number 2, this same word is translated defiled. In Romans chapter 14 and verse number 14, it is translated unclean 3 times. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 29, it is translated an unholy thing. And so what Jude is saying here is, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, when I gave all diligence to write unto you about this defiled, unclean, unholy salvation which is coming in, he said, it is necessary for me that I write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, the doctrine concerning salvation, which was once delivered unto the saints. Paul wrote about the same thing in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. If anybody's going to preach any other common, defiled plan of salvation, let him be accursed. Now, it's important to understand what that word accursed means. Strong says that it is a thing set up or laid by in order to be kept. It is something that was, if someone was going against the doctrines that were taught in the temple, then their names were to be hung up on the walls or columns of the temple or put in some other conspicuous place so that they would be exposed for what they are doing. Now, Paul was talking to those Jews who understood that and knew exactly what he was talking about. Today, he would say they need to be disciplined if they are teaching any other gospel. And so Jude said in his letter, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you. This is so important, he said. He had to write immediately. That word diligence has been translated haste in 2 other places, and Paul wrote about it when he wrote to Timothy concerning the situations in the church that needed some immediate attention. He said, these things write I, I'm reading from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but, meaning since, I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In other words, what he's saying is, I wanted to come and see you shortly, but this can't wait. And he sends him 1 and 2 Timothy is all written to us and how things ought to be done within the local church. It's written to the pastor, and it's giving the pastor instructions as to how things ought to be done. And what ought to be done today is when they came out with this new plan of salvation, which is corrupt, which says that you don't need to repent. Now, Jesus said, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Oh, no, we can't get people to repent. They're not going to come in. And that's humiliated. Let's just tell them that they believe in Jesus, they can come in and we'll baptize them and give them a bus route. No, listen to me carefully. We are living in an age when we need to get on that tower that he's talking about here at the Sheep Gate and guard the plan of salvation like never before. Silence in the pulpit concerning this problem is wrong. Silence is not always golden. Sometimes it's just plain yellow. Silence always gives consent, and we need to be standing up as never before and defending the plan of salvation that is represented here in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 concerning the sheep gate. Well, the next gate that we see here is the fish gate that has to do with our relationship with the lost. The sheep gate has to do with our relationship with Christ, and a relationship is the way in which we behave toward each other. And so how we behave concerning the things of Christ, that's the sheep gate. But how we behave concerning the lost is another gate, and we need to be concerned about, as never before, as we come to the end of the age, of being fishers of men. And that's what this gate represents, reaching lost people. And then the third one is in verse 6, which is the old gate, and it talks about taking the old paths. And you remember Jeremiah said, seek the old paths, and they said, forget that, we're not going to do that, and they went into captivity. Well, the difference in Nehemiah was exactly opposite. They chose the old paths, and the end result was revival in Nehemiah chapter 8. The next gate is the valley gate, which represents humility, then down to verse 14, the dung gate, which represents carrying out all the garbage, and then we saw the gate of the fountain, which represents the Holy Spirit in verse number 15, and then number 16, the water gate, which represents the Word of God, and it is not by chance that these two are together. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are always in total harmony. Well, now we get down to the horse gate, and this is what I was supposed to start with today, but we got caught up in a little review, and so we'll look at the horse gate in our next message. Be sure and tune in. But let's make sure, above all things, concerning the first gate, that our relationship with Jesus Christ is what it should be, because if that gate isn't done, if we don't take serious in getting that gate to be what it needs to be, our relationship with Christ, then all the other gates are going to be done in the power of the flesh, and they're not going to accomplish a whole lot. So let's get the sheep gate, let's make sure that our relationship with Christ is what it should be, and then get on with building the walls and building the gate.